What is your all-time favorite hymn? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, inviting you to vote for your favorite hymn. Send an email with your vote to hymnvote@issuesetc.org, and during the week of August 9th, we'll study the top five hymns chosen by Issues Etc. listeners. Voting ends July 25th. Vote today for your favorite hymn, hymnvote@issuesetc.org. A hymn for any time of the church year is fine. hymnvote@issuesetc.org. For the next few minutes of this first hour of Issues Etc. this Tuesday afternoon, July the 20th, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse joins us. We're going to talk with her about several issues. One, the intolerance of the gay rights movement. She is seeing it face to face. And we'll also talk with her about a settlement in a lawsuit involving a school district ban on same-sex prom dates. That's a story out of Jackson, Mississippi. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is a regular guest, founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities. She's author of the books Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Todd.
You are currently on your marriage tour, if you will. Where are you now? And tell us what you've been encountering on this tour.
Well, today we had a rally in Trenton, New Jersey. I'm literally in the back seat of a car driving to Annapolis, Maryland, where we'll have another event tomorrow. And so that will be our sixth event in all so far. And of the five that we've had so far, two of them have really been quite dramatically radical, you might say. We had some significant opposition, particularly in Providence, Rhode Island.
What did you find there?
Well, in Providence, I was speaking, literally, I could see a procession of protesters coming towards us. They were mostly dressed in red shirts, and they were carrying rainbow flags and so on, and they were marching, literally marching towards us. You could see them coming at us, the place where we were all perched out there on the State House steps and stuff. And some of them started coming up towards the podium itself and were gathered around behind me, behind the podium. And so as I saw them coming, before the audience did. And as I saw them coming, all of a sudden I'm starting to see my audience no longer looking at me. So I realized they're looking behind me. So I started, you know, kind of calling attention to it a little bit and saying, okay, let's, you know, we have a little extra entertainment here, you know, let's have a little applause for our friends who've come to visit, and now let's focus. You know, come on back here and pay attention. Tried to continue with my speech. Well, the people started chanting. They started, making noise and so on while I was speaking. And I kept my part going and got our people cheering and things like that. And boy, it was really easy to get our people cheering at that point, you know. And then when I left the podium and Brian Brown came up, I went away from the podium and went to the back of the audience. There were probably 250 people on our side. And I saw, back behind police lines, there were probably 100, 150 people on the other side. And I had no idea how many there were, Todd. And they were chanting, they were loud, they were stomping, and they were really quite menacing. I think the behavior was quite outrageous. And by the time the afternoon was over, they had literally surrounded our group of people with this continual chanting and noise-making and disrupting of our peaceful assembly. We had a permit to be there. They did not. And they were doing their best to make it impossible for us to have our First Amendment right to assemble honored.
Gay rights supporters often accuse their opponents of being intolerant. Where does that particular accusation properly lie?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, honestly, Todd, this is the face of intolerance. You know, we have it up on our blog, that the National Organization for Marriage blog has it up on there. We have a photo of a woman screaming in Brian Brown's face. She's maybe a foot away from his face. She had come right up to the podium and was screaming in his face. And so that's the label we have on the photo. This is the face of intolerance, you know. I mean, we're intolerant because we don't want to redefine marriage, and there are paragons of virtue and intolerance when they're surrounding people, chanting at people. And, of course, the other thing is, Todd, they have absolutely no arguments whatsoever. They have no capacity for forming a logical argument at all. They weren't there to debate or discuss the issues. They were there to intimidate us into silence. And by golly, we're not going to be silent.
And all you were doing is advocating for, in essence, kind of the status quo and support for traditional marriage.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And in fact, speaker after speaker said, you know, we don't hate anyone. It's not about how we feel about gays and lesbians. It's about what we believe marriage to be. One of our guys, the president of NAM Rhode Island, put it very well, I thought. He said, they have the right to live as they choose, but they do not have the right to redefine marriage for the rest of us. And I thought that was very well put. Our people really, really cheered that sentiment. Nobody is about telling them what to do or not do. We just don't want them redefining the institution of marriage for the rest of the human race.
Let's talk a little bit about a story out of Jackson, Mississippi, from redefining marriage to perhaps redefining prom dates. A teenage lesbian sued her school district over its ban on same-sex prom dates, which apparently is not unusual. And this, apparently, aided by the American Civil Liberties Union, managed to get a settlement out of it. What are your thoughts here?
Well, you know, what it is extortion. I mean, let's call it by its right name. I mean, the school district, this is a small school district in rural Mississippi. They've got things to do besides fight for the principal of traditional marriage and traditional morality. They've got children to educate. They've got a lot of jobs that they have to get done, and so they judged it that it was finally in their interest to to settle and pay out the money and to do whatever the ACLU wanted them to do, rather than continue to fight the issue. And so the real tragedy about that is that this case, as far as I can tell, Todd, does not establish a single thing in law. I think they're probably, the school is probably within its rights as a matter of law. But they felt it was in their interest to capitulate, rather than fight. And so now what happens as a result of that, the gay lobby achieved their objective without ever, getting a legislature or a judge or anybody to pass a law to do what they want. They've now got everybody cowed into compliance. Because all the other school districts will look at that and say, oh, we better do the right thing, too. We better do what the ACLU wants us to do also, or we're going to have them on our doorstep. And so it's really, from the point of view of the ACLU, it's a very underhanded tactic, I would say. You know, that's a policy decision that has been made essentially for all the schools of the country, that never had to withstand the slightest bit of scrutiny by any level of government. It's really quite outrageous.
It seems as though a lot of the pro same-sex marriage agenda runs on legal intimidation.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. I mean, intimidation, scaring people, these are their stock and trade. And we saw that face to face in Rhode Island, because they, as I told the crowd, what they're trying to do is to keep people from even thinking about the issue. They're not here to debate the issue. They're here to get what they want, whether it's what other people want or not, whether it's legal or not, it doesn't matter. They're here to intimidate people into complying with what they want. And so that's really what that particular case amounted to. And it's really quite comparable, I think, to these lawsuits that they do with school districts, just like the one that we were talking about in Mississippi. When it goes to a head-to-head vote of the real people, the normal people, the people who have power and who care about, who care about their country, who are invested in their country, when it comes to the vote of the people, people do not want same-sex marriage, and they don't really want to upend all of the traditional morality. But the traditional morality is basically being taken away from them.
You mentioned this before, but with only about a minute, what's the next stop for the Summer for Marriage tour?
Okay, tomorrow we're going to Annapolis, and then after that we'll be heading to the Midwest. They'll be in Columbus, Ohio, and Lima, Ohio. And I'm not sure what other points in the Midwest. I'm going off the tour. Tomorrow's my last stop, so I won't be on the tour anymore. But the Summer for Marriage will still be coming, and people should go and look on the website, get that information. And honestly, people should really come out and stand up for marriage, because these kind of intimidation tactics. We cannot allow this kind of thing to stand. And if people show up, you're not going to get hurt. You know, you're perfectly safe to come here, and it's very important that you stand up for marriage and stand up for what's right. I've had a very strong sense of that at the rally on Sunday at Rhode Island, that the men who were there really felt charged up and were ready to go to the mat for traditional marriage. Some of the moms with small kids, yeah. Some of the old ladies, yeah, they were scared. But the men of all ages, they were glad they were there, and they're saying to themselves, I'm not going to forget this day. I'm all in for natural marriage. So please, everybody, go to the websites and look up where to go and show up and support natural marriage.
Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris is founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Check out the blog and the website for the Ruth Institute. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Listen on Demand. Jennifer, thank you very much.
Thank you.
When we come back, it's hour two of Issues Etc. We're devoting that entire hour to a second part in our summer series with Dr. Carl Fikencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. His area of expertise is in law and gospel. That sounds quite simple, and it really is simple. Easier said than done, I think, when we talk about these two great doctrines of Holy Scripture by which we understand all of Scripture to be the cradle that holds and delivers Jesus Christ and His saving work to us. Part two of our Law and Gospel series with Dr. Carl Fikencher and hour two of Issues, Etc. in 7 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.